a little bit about Chol HaMoed today and what I see its connection with the first and the seventh day of Pesach, and to talk about Shvi Yishal Pesach. Unfortunately, I can't talk about Shvi Yishal Pesach on the basic Knesset for you. I could go there myself and give the drasha to myself, but that wouldn't help any of us. I might as well give it here. Pesach is unique if we can contrast it with Sukkot. On Sukkot, we have only one day of Mikra Kadosh, the first day. After the first day, there are 6 days of Chol HaMoed. Shmini, as the Gemara says in numerous places in Shas, is Chag B'Fnei Atzmo. The proof of the pudding is we make a new Shechiyono for the Chag of Shmini Atzeres. Pesach is one Chag. We do not recite the Shechiyono on Shvi Yishal Pesach. So why is it that on Pesach we have 2 days of Mikra Kodesh, the first and the seventh, and yet on Sukkot it suffices to have one day, and the Shmini is an additional Yom Tov, which happens to come at the very end of Sukkot? Well, normally, the normal answer that's given for this, and I'm going to adhere to this answer, is that the Chag is to celebrate a Nes, and Pesach are 2 series of Nisim. As we mentioned in the Haggadah, Kamaloku be'etzba, Kamaloku alayom. How many Kamaloku in Mitzrayim? Kamaloku alayom. It was a series of Makkos in Mitzrayim. It was a series of Makkos alayom. The Yom was its own event. On the first day of Pesach, we celebrated the Cheirus. It's the son of Rebbeis Avodin, the Rebbe Shter has redeemed us. Shvi Yishal Pesach had its ownness and its own context, Kriyas Yamsuf. And on Shvi Yishal Pesach, we celebrate Kriyas Yamsuf. So it itself is significant. It was another nest to celebrate. Sukkot was celebrating only the gift of the Anani HaKavod, of the Rabbeinu Shalom, that protected us in the Midbar. But we don't have a second nest to celebrate, whereas on Pesach, we have 2 different Nisim. So we have an extra day associated with Pesach of Mikra Kodesh. We have Mikra Kodesh on the first day, Mikra Kodesh on the seventh day. Now, these are associated. They're not 2 separate things. It's not 2 separate Chagim. We don't have a new Shechiyonu on Shvi. Shvi is a Hemshech. It's a continuation, really, of the first day and an enhancement of the first day. But nevertheless, it's associated with the first day, the Mikra Kodesh. The Chag is one Chag. And this is so emphasized between Pesach that we bring the same Korban Musaf each day. All the days follow on the heels of the first day of Pesach, including Shvi Yishal Pesach. And we'll come back to Shvi Yishal Pesach soon and its significance, the very lessons that we ought to learn from it. But the first and the seventh day are associated with each other. And there, because of that, we have days in the middle, what we call Chol HaMoed, with the rice and the 5 days of Chol HaMoed. And those that have a din, there are a din of the Chag, the full-fledged din of the Chag. When we have the din b'samachta b'chagecha, it's clearly spelled out in the Rambam that b'samachta b'chagecha applies to all the days of the Chag, not just to Yom Rishon and Yom Shvi, but all the days of Chol HaMoed are also included in the Simchas HaChag, the part of the Chag itself, with the Raisa, the part of the Chag. There's a mitzvah to say the Raisa b'samachta b'chagecha. So clearly, there is one Hemshech. This is one Chag. Now, what's interesting is a Gemara in Chagiga, which talks about learning from a Pasuk that one may not do Malacha on Chol HaMoed. We know the Halachas of Chol HaMoed are very complex, some Malachas of Mutter, some Asur, etc., with varied rules governing what's Mutter and what's Asur on Chol HaMoed. And the simple mashmos in the Gemara in Chagiga is this is a deraisa dikadin. But this is a matter of a great dispute among the Rishonim. Many of the Rishonim say that the Malacha and Chalamon is only Asana B'Rabbana. And the Kra is just an Asmachna, is an allusion to the Yisr, but it's not actually a source of the Yisr itself. But rather surprisingly, Chazal tell us that a person that's Mevazen among others, someone that disrespects them or that deprecates them among others, is a person that does Malacha and Chalamot. This is understandable with the sheet that it holds that Malachas Chalamot is deraisa. But if Malachas Chalamot is the Rabbanon, then why should this be considered Bizei HaMo'avitz? And I believe that the point that these Rishonim are making is the enactment of the Yisur Malacha is that it should not deteriorate into just a normal weekday routine. We go to business and we do the same things. It's to reinforce the realization this is too as a chag. It's a chag with lesser kedusha than the first day and the seventh day, but it too is a chag. And we should never lose sight of that. And if we lose sight of the fact that these days are a chag, it's bizei hachag. That's the reason, apparently, that the Rabbanan made the Yisur Malacha. We should realize that this is a chag, and we need to observe it as a chag. And I think philosophically, to connect the first and the seventh days, properly celebrate Pesach, needs the realization that all the days in the middle are a chag. If we had a chag, 5 days of chayyur, and we came back to a new chag, then we would not have a hemsha, we would not have the continuity of the chag. Chazal wanted and stressed, in some say it's minatero, that there's a continuity to the chag, there's a simchas chag, there's a din chag minatero on all the days in the middle, which connect the beginning and the end of the chag. And only thereby can we properly celebrate Shvi Yishar Pesach. Otherwise we would lose sight of what Shvi Yishar Pesach is. And we have varied halachas besides in Simchas Achag. It's a time that we're supposed to wear big day Shabbos, we're supposed to eat beautiful sudas. Those that have a tam and wine are supposed to drink wine on Chalamayit, just as there's a din of yayin at every Simchas Shabbos and Simchas, every Suda Shabbos and Suda Yom Tov. There is a din of yayin for those that appreciate yayin on each day of Chalamayit. It's also a din because there's a full-fledged din of Simchas Yom Tov. And this, I believe, is the bridge between the first and the seventh day. Without it, we would lose sight of the Kedushas Achag. We had a chag, and 6 days later a new chag would come, but then we would lose the association with the first day. It's only the continuity of the chag, which connects the first to the seventh day, which allows us to put the seventh day in proper perspective. Now, I wanted to look at Shvi Yishar Pesach, a number of aspects of Shvi Yishar Pesach. The first aspect of Shvi Yishar Pesach that I wanted to look at is a very, very striking question. And in the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shabbos was, calendar was as it was this year. The 10th of Nisan was on Shabbos. And the day of the Yitzhak was on Thursday, it was the 15th of Nisan, the calendar that we had this year. And on the 10th of Nisan was a very special day. Moshe Rabbeinu had commanded the Klal Yisrael at the behest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also the Chodesh Hazeh, on the 10th of this month, you should take a set and set it aside for the Korban Pesach. And they set it aside. And the Mitzvah asked them, what is this animal that you've set aside? And they said, well, 4 days hence, on the 14th of Nisan, we're going to shecht this animal. We're going to bring it as a korban. This was something which was highly insulting to the Mitzvah, as this is what they worshipped. This animal was this, their, a deity, as far as they were concerned. And for the Jews to slaughter it was the height of disrespect. It was a very dangerous thing for us to say that we're going to disrespect the religion of the country to which we're subjugated. We were a poor and defenseless minority. And yet, we heeded the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each put the set aside and made the declaration. And we marked this each year on Shabbos HaGodol to commemorate that ness, the tremendous Mesiras Nefesh that we had to set this aside, to defy the Egyptians, and to declare our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shvi Yishal Pesach on the calendar, it's 11 days later. This was on the 10th. Shvi Yishal Pesach is Yom Echad Be'esrim on the 21st. Oh, Nisan, 11 days subsequent to the 10th. And here we come to the Yom Suf. And at the Yom Suf, Klal Yisrael is frozen. And we have a huge debate going on in the Jewish community. Four different groups, as the Rebbe Mechai tells us. Some wanted to daven, some wanted to wage war, some wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. All types of philosophies and groups. And the Rebbe Shalom responds to Moshe Rabbeinu, Davero b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael. Your task is to go forward. March into the sea. Davero b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael. And everyone freezes. No one could move. The Egyptian army is on one side. The Yam Suf is on the other side. And no one is ready to move. They're absolutely frozen in place. Until Nachshon Ben Aminadav comes. And he jumps into the water. And when he gets in the water up to his neck, then the Yam Suf splits. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? If they had such mesiras nefesh, and such belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they set aside the Korban Pesach on the 10th of Nisan, and they've been on a roll since then, it's absolutely everything has gone their way, exactly as planned. They bring the Korban Pesach, that night is Makos B'chayrus, the next morning they march out, and the Egyptians even demand that they leave Mitzrayim. They take an enormous amount of wealth with them. Everything exactly as planned. They're on a tremendous roll. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells them, Dabaro b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael. And all of a sudden, they forget the Mesiras Nefesh of 11 days ago. Nobody's home. Nobody wants to go into the Yam Suf, not a single soul. Until finally Nachshon says, enough of this. We have to listen to the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he jumps into the Yam. So what happened? Where did they lose themselves in these days? What took place? I believe the answer is that there are two levels of Mesiras Nefesh. There's a level of Mesiras Nefesh where I can imagine there's a means, a practical means of succeeding. I can succeed, but am I ready to bet on it, to bet my life on it? That's a different story. I could succeed. In Mitzrayim, they could have imagined there was a way to succeed, that they'll get away with it. The Egyptians are so overawed and so frightened of all the makas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought, with which he's devastated Mitzrayim, that the Egyptians will not have the strength to stand up to the Jewish people. And they'll back down when the Jews declare their willingness to sacrifice the Korban Pesach. Am I willing to bet my life on it? That that's going to happen? That's something else. And that was the Mesiras Nefesh of Klal Yisrael. They said, if the Rebbeinu Shalom told us to do it, then we'll bet our life on it too. It's going to work. And they did it. And lo and behold, they succeeded. They got away with it. But when it came to the Yam Suf, there was a different type of Mesiras Nefesh. There's a Mesiras Nefesh where I cannot see any practical means of escape. There's a sea. What am I supposed to do? March into the sea and then what? The sea doesn't go anyplace. It's unforgiving. I cannot survive in the sea. So what should I do in the sea? It's nice the Rebbeinu Shalom told me to go into the sea. books. Who said I'm ready for such a level of Mesiras Nefesh where I don't see any practical means of success? And that's what Nachshon taught Klal Yisrael, that we don't need practical means for success. The Ribbono Shel Olam, who created the heavens and the earth, he has the ability to reshape all of nature as he sees fit. And it doesn't have to be a practical way to survive. The Ribbono Shel Olam will create the means for which Klal Yisrael will survive. And that's what Nachshon taught us. Our faith, our trust, our bitachon in the Ribbono Shel Olam is not rooted in defining a practical means of success. If we're sure that this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, then we're ready to do it. How we will succeed? The Ribbono Shel Olam will provide the answer to that question. We don't need to know the answer to that question in advance. And this is what Nachshon taught us. This is one major lesson of Shvi Yishar Pesach. And I believe that this is also reflected in the Haggadah. I stopped on the first night of the Seder in Arakasha, in Dayenu, which, as you know, I've often explained, Dayenu doesn't mean it would have sufficed. Dayenu means it would have been sufficient reason that we should have to give a door to our Kodesh Baruch. And that's reinforced by the paragraph which comes afterwards, Allah has come with our Tomus and Pelis, etc. That we're talking about a door. And that's what Dayenu means. It would be sufficient reason to give a door. So I dwelled on one of the 15 statements in Dayenu. It says, if he had supplied our needs in the desert for 40 years, but he did not give us the mon Dayenu. That would be reason to appraise the Ribbono Shel Olam. And meaning apparently the mon then took it to a new level. So what does it mean? The Ribbono Shel Olam did supply us. He gave us mon. And if he gave us steak every day, it would have been different. What's the difference of how the Ribbono Shel Olam supplied? At the end, what we needed was the Ribbono Shel Olam to give us a means of survival, and he did. So it was steak, it was cheese, it was mon. What's the difference? What's the special idol associated with the mon? And I saw one of the Meforshim on the Haggadah, the Migdala Eder Haggadah, says the following. That the Pasuk states, the Chumash Dvarim, Ki lo al alecha levado yichya odin, do not live all solely by bread, yal chomotzo fi Hashem yichya odin. We live through that which the Ribbono Shel Olam commands. Everything in the world serves a certain purpose, but it serves that purpose because the Ribbono Shel Olam dictated that it should serve that purpose. If we light a candle and it burns and gives light, that's because the Ribbono Shel Olam gave that quality to the candle, that it should give light. But as we know with the very famous Gemara with Rav Chanina ben Daisa, that they didn't have oil to light for Shabbos. They only had vinegar. So he said they should put vinegar into the menorah. And they lit wicks. And it also burned. And Rav Chanina ben Daisa said, Yish'omu l'shemen l'hadlik, the one that commanded oil to burn, who will command l'chaymetz l'hadlik, that vinegar will burn. What makes the quality of oil that it gives light? It's Tzivui Hashem. It's a quality that the Ribbono Shel Olam is endowed oil with. You can endow chaymetz, vinegar with it if he so desires. Everything in the world reflects the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the mon is Ki al kamotzo fi Hashem yichya odin. No one ever saw mon before. No one has seen mon since. It was a new bria that the Ribbono Shel Olam brought forth. And yet it sustained us in miraculous fashion. So we learn from that, Ki al kamotzo fi Hashem yichya odin. A steak? I understand that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me a steak, that I would survive on steak. I would survive on vegetables and on cheese, etc. But the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me and made a new bria called mon. No one's ever seen it before. No one's ever seen it since. But since the Ribbono Shel Olam said it should sustain us, it sustained us remarkably, no less than the natural foods that that we use, no use to the natural foods that we used to eating. And that's the lesson that we learn from the moment. The lesson from the moment is, we're not limited by nature. Natural events do not limit us. Natural limitations do not limit us. In the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is open. Rabbi Shalom can produce and bring forth every result that he wishes, whether there's a practical means readily at hand, or whether it doesn't exist at all. Rabbi Shalom is in the position, as the creator of the world, to reformulate the nature of the world, and especially for particular circumstances in which he has a particular will and a particular desire to do so. And through that, Rabbeinu Shalom sustains Klal Yisrael. So this was a major teaching of the seventh day of Pesach, that we don't have to see in our own mind's eye a practical means how we will succeed, how the Rabbeinu Shalom will pull it off. We don't have to have the Egyptians being cowed in fear, and therefore not rising up against us when we set aside the separate common passage. We can come to a yam, an implacable yam, a yam that cannot be parted, a sea which is unforgiving of human life, and yet we can march right into it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause it to split. This is the realm that we entered into in Shkiyah Shabbasah. We entered into a new realm, a new understanding of the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands with us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited by anything which takes place. And this is one of the major teachings of the Torah that we find over and over and over again. That the Rabbeinu Shalom says, our responsibility is to do what we're supposed to do, do what's right. How it will play out and how we will succeed, that's in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shalom. When Moshe Rabbeinu and Parshas Bamidbar is charged with the responsibility of conducting the census, so there's a very significant difference between the members of Klal Yisrael and the members of Shevet Levi. The members of Klal Yisrael and Ben Esther and Shalom Amram, they have to be counted from 20 years and up. Whereas the Leviya is the Ben Shloish and Ben Chodesh, from the time they're a month old. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Rabbeinu Shalom and he says to him, conducting a census with people that are above 20, they're mature people. I understand that I conduct such a census. But if I have to count every young child that's even only 1 month old, will I invade the privacy of every nursing mother and invade her bedroom to count the young child that's together with her? And the Rabbeinu Shalom does not answer Moshe Rabbeinu directly, Rashi tells us from Chazal. The Rabbeinu Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Asei ato shulcho v'ani yaseh shalom. I will do what you do, what you have to do, and I will do what I'm supposed to do. Inscrutable. The Rabbeinu Shalom does not show his hand. He does not tell Moshe Rabbeinu how he will succeed. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you do your part. Leave the rest to me. So Moshe Rabbeinu marches on, and totally in the dark about how this is going to work. As he arrives at the tent of the first lady, he says, Api Hashem. A heavenly voice rings out and tells him how many children, how many people among the Leviyim live in this house that he has to tell, so he does not have to enter. The Rabbeinu Shalom did not answer him and tell him that I'm going to do Api Hashem, that there'll be a ness, that a heavenly voice will ring out as he approach the home of every house of the Leviyim. The Rabbeinu Shalom told him, I say, because this really is the task, the total task of the human being in this world. We don't understand the drachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the time in which we presently live in. It is unfortunately such a great midas adin, such a great charana, such a great hestepana, totally beyond their understanding. They have no understanding of what Rabbi Yishalayla is seeking, why the Rabbi Yishalayla has done this, how long it will last, what will take place. It's a very, very difficult situation. But the task, our task is, I say, Atoshali, we have the mitzvahs that we're supposed to do. We celebrated first day's event, we celebrated the Snorah, we celebrated Shavuos, we celebrated Chalamoid, we celebrate Kriyas Yamsuf, but Shri and Achron shall face it as well. That's our task. What the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will do in his part is on the Yasashali. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, I'll take care of my part. So this defines what took place in Kriyas Yamsuf. Rabbeinu Shel Olam told the Moshe Rabbeinu, this defines the parameters of our Avodas Hashem, that we often don't know exactly how it will play out, what's supposed to happen, but we know at the moment what our responsibility is. That responsibility is in the Targag Mitzvahs to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu appropriately. And we do the mitzvahs to make us power before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the rest, we're totally dependent on the Rabbanu Shalom, the Rabbanu Shalom, the Rabbanu Shalom. And just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened at Yamsuf, split the Yamsuf, brought us to the Rabbanu to safety, we have the same confidence that today the Rabbanu Shalom will also intervene in some fashion that we don't yet know. From where and in what way? But that the Rabbanu Shalom is a Kel Rachel Mechanon who will bring forth Be'ezus Hashem Mecharon Av, and this Adin will end, this Rachel will come, and we'll see Yeshua in this phenomenal Tzara, which afflicts us presently. But this lies in the very lesson about the meaning of Shri Yishan Pesach. It enhanced Pesach Rishon. Pesach Rishon, the Mesiras Nefesh, only encompassed part of life where we had a practical means of success. Shri Yishal Pesach, Nachshom and Aminoda, brought us to a new level. That we have trust and faith in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, even when we don't see how we're going to succeed. Even when it seems totally beyond our grasp, totally beyond what's achievable. But as the Chumash tells us in Bamidbar, Hayar Hashem Tikta, is there anything that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam cannot do? It is that realization which Be'ezus Hashem will give us the strength to go through this very difficult period and emerge strengthened in our closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, strengthened in our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, strengthened in our tefillos, and thereby the Rabbeinu Shel Olam would have raised us to a new level of our position. So I want to wish all of you a good Yom Tov. Be'ezus Hashem, will be an email forthcoming about varied aspects of the last days of Pesach, by comments after Pesach. I will just note at this point that Yisker Tefillah is normally recited on the final day of Pesach, and it's not a Dorosh of the Gdusha, does not need a minyan. So each and every one of us that has the responsibility of reciting Yisker can recite it on the home, on the very last day of the Chag. And I would also remind you, as Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal said, that the principal source of Yisker, the stuff which is associated with it, so we have time, especially before Yom Tov, it's preferable even to give the stuff before Yom Tov, and one can donate to the shul at its website, caycharityfund@gmail.com. That's caycharityfund@gmail.com. And though we can donate stockers, and stockers will be especially needed. The economic crisis, which will engulf our community, has already begun and will deepen after the Chag, with many people out of work and having no means really of sustaining their families. So that which was begun during the Chag, many families needing assistance to make Yom Tov. We're going to deepen after Yom Tov, and I call upon each of you to donate as generously as you possibly can so that we can provide the maximum assistance to members of our community in the days after the Chag. And in that tzus, when the Rebbeinu Shalom of Racham on all of us, as Chazal said, Kol Maracham on Abrius, when it is compassionate, is Maracham on Alom on Hashemayim, the Rebbeinu Shalom brings forth his compassion, and the tzus of Maracham will effectuate the bringing forth the Midas of Racham and the compassionate Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, push away the Midas of Din, which has so afflicted us until now, the Yom Tov Rabbeinu Shalom.